what it's like being transgender in Wichita. I'm Tom Shine, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, a never-ending pursuit of creating art.
Well, I've done art my entire life. I mean, I was the one who made the posters in the pep club.
But first, the Kansas legislature passed a bill banning gender-affirming care for minors this year, part of a national trend targeting the trans community. Still, transgender people in Wichita say they find meaning in their community. Amina Jenkins talked with some of them during a recent Pride event.
My name is Anastasia Cupper. I'm 29. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm with the Westlink Church of Christ.
So I have been out socially for 4 years. My spouse was already out, though, thankfully, so I knew that they were safe at the time. My family is very traditional, so it was a scary thing to do, but they've come around behind me, and they're learning and growing with me, so... My faith is rooted in the idea that everyone is loved and that spreading love is the thing that we're here to do. So in that, I know that I am being loved by the people around me and I am loving other people. And so I never feel like my identity as a trans woman is at odds with that because it's just both elements are true about me.
I am Miles Wilson. I am 18 years old and I use he, him pronouns. When I was a junior in high school, the Kansas legislature had introduced and passed a bill that would ban gender-affirming health care for minors. And I led a walkout at my school. The governor ended up vetoing it, and it didn't go through. But then they introduced the same bill a year later, and it did go through. I had so many friends who were so looking forward to starting gender-affirming health care, and I was just grieving for all the kids in Kansas who wouldn't get to experience the joy that I did. People forget that kids are humans too, and if we are capable of deciding what we want to do for the rest of our lives, if we are capable of deciding all of these things that society already forces on us, then we are capable of deciding what our bodies want to look like. Seeing so many people being openly queer is so energizing, and it really gives a lot of people like me hope for the future.
I am Jessie Freya Daughter. I am 53, and my pronouns are she, they. My first Pride was here in Wichita in like 96, 97, something like that, and there was just a handful of people. Actually, this is the third time I've tried to come out, and it stuck this time. The first two were in the like early 90s, so it was not a great time to try to come out then. There was definitely a lot more, like definitely more fear of physical direct violence back then than I have now. It's just so much freer. Like, I am truly out and proud, and I'm happy to be here and representing my community and seeing my community out here and everybody just being themselves. The reality is queer joy is what angers them the most, and so I'm just going to live my life and live it with joy and happiness and, yeah.
You can read more of Amina's story at KMUW.org. An artist's drive to create almost never stops, even when they're building a career in another field. Kelly Rundle is a testament to that creative spirit. For this month's Artworks, Torn Anderson talked with Rundle during an open studio at Mark Arts.
My day job is that I'm an attorney, Hyde, Fanning & Honeyman. I've practiced law for 40 years now. I find art to be a really great way to relieve stress. And so if I'm having a bad day, there's going to be a lot of art done later.
Artists often supplement their passion with day jobs, but rarely does their art stay home or in the studio. Artist Kelly Rundle might take hers into the courtroom.
If I'm bored when I'm taking a deposition or in a meeting, I will tend to doodle.
And that has been a long-time fascination.
Well, I've done art my entire life. I mean, I was the one who made the posters in the pep club.
Rundle later took life drawing classes at the old Center for the Arts until she turned her interest to pottery.
So I stopped drawing, and I did pottery for about 20 years.
Until an injury stopped her.
And I hurt my shoulder, And after rotator cuff surgery, I couldn't really throw pottery, big pieces of pottery like I did before. But I have to do art because that's what I have to do. It's part of me. And so I just took some painting classes, and I decided I had more fun and was probably better at painting than I was at pottery.
More specifically, Rundle makes collage art.
I am doing a collage here. I make my own papers, and I don't take pictures out of magazines or buy paper or anything.
Rundle takes paper of her own, applies, smears, stencils, and streaks paint, then uses those exercises as the source for her own collages.
By doing that, I can make sure the colors are the colors I want, the designs that I want, because I'm kind of a control freak. And so I have everything the way it's supposed to be.
And her approach to adhesive is pigmented.
I mean, at some point, you know, when you're doing collages, you don't want to use Mod Podge all the time because it's kind of heavy and clunky.
So through much experimentation, Rundle now uses paint to adhere her works together and on canvas. Her application is a bit like finger painting.
I usually use my fingers. I don't use brushes very often. Go ahead and add some more color to it and also glue my paper down by using paint.
After laying down paper using the paint color she wants, Rundle will add a little bit of action.
I'll put some ink on here in the middle of the flower, and so then I'll use a straw and I blow the ink all over the place, but it's supposed to be like the little stems in the middle of the flowers.
Rundle has an upcoming show at Art House 310.
I call it a garden party. I'm focusing on florals and things in nature.
She will exhibit with Michael Davenport.
The thing that we both have noticed is we both use a lot of strong colors. There's not going to be anything soft or gentle or muted at this show.
Rundle appreciates the lower pressure experience of exhibiting with four or more artists. The stakes are a bit higher in a duo show.
This show, because there's only two of us, it feels like a lot more pressure that you want to fill it with really good stuff.
For The Range, I'm Torin Anderson.
Kelly Rundle and Michael Davenport's exhibition begins this evening. It's at Art House 310. And one last thing. It's been a tough time for public media. Congress cut our federal funding recently after months of withering criticism from some officials. Enemy of the people is the most common insult. Well, at KMUW, those enemies of the people are your neighbors. And every day, they come into our newsroom dedicated to providing quality journalism to the communities of South Central Kansas, like our mission statement says. Many of you understand that, which is why you quickly donated money to fill the gap left by federal cuts. But some still think public media has a left-wing bias. As Harper Lee wrote in To Kill a Mockingbird, people generally see what they look for and hear what they listen for. And while we're tossing around famous phrases, here's another. Fall down 7 times, stand up 8. We're still standing. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Carly Cooper, Jonathan Huber, Beth Collet, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.